Father, we thank you for the ways in which you are challenging us already in this time of worship together. We pray that you will continue to do that as we think on your word and on the meaning of harvest now. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I have my 7 card bearers back, please? Whoever was holding H seems to have gone wrong. Now, there isn't a letter for everybody, but can you reorder yourselves, please, to form the word earth? And if your letter's not there, then perhaps you can just step to one side for a moment. Earth, thank you very much. Harvest is about the earth. At harvest time, we celebrate all the good things that the earth provides, and we've been bringing them forward, and we've got this lovely display. Years ago, in parts of Derbyshire, Nottinghamshire, Yorkshire, County Durham, and South Wales, there was very often another item that was always placed at the front at harvest celebrations. Can anybody think what it was? I was very specific. Derbyshire, Nottinghamshire, parts of Yorkshire, County Durham, South Wales. Yes, Jeff. Did you ever see coal on a harvest Thanksgiving display? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because coal is part of the harvest of the earth, at least it was thought so at that time. And particularly in coal mining areas, a great lump of coal would be brought into church. It would have been washed and polished so that it was shiny, and it would have pride of place in the harvest display. If we were to look at what we brought forward this morning, we will see it wouldn't take long to work out that our food in the United Kingdom comes from all over the world. We only grow 87% of the food we need, of the wheat we need. We only grow 54% of the vegetables we need. We only grow 16% of the fruit we eat. And for those of us who are concerned about global warming, there's another dimension to that, because bringing all that other food here involves burning fuels, mainly on ships, sometimes on lorries, to a small extent on aeroplanes, to bring the food that we need to this country. There's enough food in the world to feed twice the world's population. But can you form now, please, the word starve, which one or two people were quick enough to notice is contained in the word harvest. So we've got the word starve. Can we form that now, please? If there's enough food in the world to feed twice the world's population, why is it that across the world, millions of people are starving? And they won't enjoy harvest this year, some of them, at all. Why is that? Come on, give me the answers. Tell me. Greed has got something to do with it. Yes. Rich countries, like our own, are buying too much food. Rich people are eating too much food, and others are starving. Other reasons why people are starving. Waste. Thank you. I hadn't got that on my list, but thank you very much. Is it estimated that in Britain we throw away one third of the food that we buy? It's something horrific like that. Another reason. Drought. Drought. That's a particular problem in parts of Africa that once enjoyed rich harvests and now are not enjoying harvests at all because the seasonal drought has become a permanent drought and the fields are dry and the animals are dying. Another reason. War. We know what the Ukraine war has done this year to food supplies. Ukraine is a country which is rich in yields of food. And grain from Ukraine has traditionally supplied much of the Middle East with the grain that it's needed. Well, in the end, some has got through, but not as much as was needed. And Bren, you can give me the next answer. You know this. Flooding. Floods in Pakistan. And they are to some extent being caused by the melting of ice and snow and glaciers in the Himalayan mountain range, which has normally flown in a controlled way into Pakistan and is now flooding huge parts of that country, and crops are not being grown and therefore they're not being able to be used. Can you reform, please, into the word share? Most farmers in the world are what we call subsistence farmers. That is to say, they only produce as much food as they themselves need to live on, and they're constantly living on the poverty line. And very often they die because they've had a poor harvest or a bad harvest. Fortunately, most farmers in the world produce a surplus, which they sell to others. And the United Nations helps rich countries give some of their food to poor countries where people are starving. But as someone has said, part of the problem is that rich people are eating too much anyway. Someone has also said, we need to live more simply that others may simply live. Let me say that again. We need to live more simply that others may simply live. Now, finally, can you form the word heart, please? Is there an answer? Perhaps, maybe. Prophet Ezekiel said from God, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. While other people are selfish, maybe we cannot solve the world's problems, certainly not as we might wish. We need new hearts. We need generous hearts. That Bible story that was read to us about the rich man and Lazarus illustrates this. Lazarus didn't go to heaven because he, let me rephrase that. Lazarus didn't go to the bosom of Abraham because he was poor. Neither did the rich man end up in Hades because he was rich. The rich man in the story ended up in Hades because he did nothing to help the poor man who lay begging at his gate. We read of another rich man in the New Testament called Nicodemus. He went to see Jesus at night because he didn't want his posh colleagues on the Jewish council to know that he was going. He didn't go to grumble at Jesus like many of his colleagues did. He didn't go to plot against Jesus like others of his colleagues did. He went because he got generous questions. He got genuine questions. And when he got to Jesus, he flattered him. No one can teach like you do. And Jesus cut to the chase. You know what, Nicodemus? You won't even see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. You won't enter the kingdom of heaven unless you're born of water and of the Holy Spirit. We know what water meant to Jewish people in the first century. John the Baptist baptized with water as a sign of repentance and cleansing. That's what we need. We need our sins washing away, our selfishness, our greed. It needs to be washed away. And there's only one place where we can be washed clean. And it's in the blood that flowed from the wounds of Jesus as he died on the cross. The blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And then we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Our hearts need to be made new. And so, yeah, even on Harvest Sunday, we need again to make a gospel proclamation and appeal. When we come to the cross where Jesus died, where we see Jesus dying for each one of us, when we receive him into our hearts and lives, when we ask for the fullness of his Spirit, he gives us new and generous hearts that share all the good gifts he has given us with others. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. Then thank the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord for all his love.